We're holding Membeis Amud Aleph, the top line. We discussed yesterday a Machlokas Rebbe and the Chachamim about whether a person is able to free only half his Eved. We said our Mishnah that talks about Chetzi Eved B'Chetzi Ben Chorin may be referring to when there were two partners or two brothers or whatever who own an Eved jointly, and one of them freed him and the other one doesn't. Everybody agrees that you could do that. But the question is, if you have one master and he frees half the Eved, does that work or not? We said, Rebbe said yes, the Chachamim said no, and we discussed two ways of understanding the Machlokas. Is it, we said Rabba's way of understanding is that if it was done with Kesef, then everybody would agree it would work, that you can free half the Eved with money. The Machlokas would be, as far as a Shtar, Rebbe would say it works and the Chachamim would say it doesn't. Rabbi Yosef, we went through two possibilities. First, Rabbi Yosef had tried to say the other way around. Machlokas is when it comes to money, but when it comes to a shtar, everybody agrees it doesn't work. We brought a braisa that says it's not so. So then Rabbi Yosef said it would mean that they'd actually be arguing on both money and shtar and saying that that in either case, Rabbi would say it's possible to free half the Eved and the Chachamim would say that not. So now continuing on this topic, more about understanding this machlokas of Rebbe and the Chachamim, Omer Rabba, machlokas b'shashichra chetzi v'hinia chetzi. The machlokas is where he actually freed half of him and left the other half of him as an Eved. So since Rabba had learned before that the machlokas would be as far as a shtar, and we said the difference was basically whether we follow the hekesh, which we learned yesterday, there's a hekesh between money and a shtar. So therefore, if we establish that money works by half, then so would a shtar. Or would we say, on the other hand, that Gzeira Shava tells us that? That a get shichru for an eved has to be similar to a get for a wife, where there you can't half divorce a wife. So the same way here, you can't half send away an eved. So Rabbi says within that machlokas, that would only be where he freed half of him and left the other half of him as slave. But if he freed half of him, having previously sold half of him to somebody else, or Rashi says it can also, so it can either be that he sold half of him first. So at first he owned the whole Eved. Now he sold half the Eved to somebody else, and now he frees his half. Either that, or Rashi says it could be b'vasachas as well. It could be that he does one transaction by which he's by one shtar, let's say, by which he's freeing half the Eved and transferring the other half to somebody else. Or similarly, if instead of selling, he gave away half the Eved, then that's different. Then, since at that point the Eved completely leaves his possession, then everybody would agree that it's koina and the Eved becomes chetzi Eved, the chetzi ben chorin. Because if the whole Rabbi is saying, if the whole reason we were saying why it doesn't work is because it has to be like a get isha, where she has to be completely removed from his rishus. Good, this Eved is completely removed from his rishus now, just that only half of it is becoming free, and the other half is remaining an Eved, but to somebody else. So that's what Rabba says that. Omalei Abaya, so Abaya asks, v'chuloi loy pligi. So you're telling me that if he completely leaves his rishus, so he's selling half of him and freeing half of him, you're telling me that there's no argument that Chachamim would agree with Rebbe then that it works. Let's consider though, we have two braises that bear on this, and once we reconcile the two braises, then on the face of it, we're going to have the Chachamim do disagree in a case like Rabba's, because we have one braise that says Akosiv Nechosav Shnei Avodav. If a person writes a document giving his Nechosim to his two Avodim, so he writes out two shtaris. Each shtar says, I am giving away all my nechosim to my Eved Ploini. And what he does is, Rashi says, then he gives a shliach to be zoicha in these shtaris at the same time for both Avadim. So now what happens is, so usually actually when you have two shtaris on the same estate, we usually say that we learned in Ksubas that the Dayanim have to figure out which one is going to be the one who gets it, because one contradicts the other. But here actually, they don't really so much contradict. He's saying to each one, you get all my nechassim, with the idea being, in other words, Rashi says, they'll end up dividing the nechassim, because since they both came at the same time, so they'll divide the nechassim, and each one, in effect, owns half of the other one, because each shtar is saying that you own all my nechassim, while my nechassim includes the Eben. So konu, so it works, they're koina, or meshachrin zeh, and they have to write out a get shichur for one another, because each one owns now half of the other one, because when he gets half of the nechassim, then it means he gets half of the other one as well. So therefore, they have to write a get shichur one to another. That's one braisa. The Tanya idach, but then another braisa says, ha'oimah kol nechassai nesunin l'ploini u'ploini avodai. Another braisa says, though, that if he says, all my nechassim are given to ploini and ploini, my slaves, then the second braisa says they're not even kona themselves, and they're not kona the nechassim either, because mash kona eved kona rabbi, and right now they're still avodim. So how do we have? So what are the two? So what's going on with these two braisas? Why do they contradict? Why do they disagree with one another? My lav hor rebbe v'hor rabbanon. Shouldn't we assume one of them goes according to rebbe and the other one according to the rabbanon? So the first braisa would be according to Rebbe, that you're able to use a shtar to free half an eved. Therefore, that's exactly what happens. Each shtar frees half of one of the avodim, and therefore now, each one owns half of the other one. So in effect, that's exactly what the master did. He took each eved and divided him in half and said, half of you are going to be free and own my nechassim, and the other half is going to belong to your fellow eved, and he's going to have to free you. And that braisa is saying that that's working. The second braisa that says that doesn't work would be according to the Chachamim. So wouldn't that show, says Abaye, that the Chachamim argue in that case too? And the answer is loy, aydi v'aydi rabbanon. No, because you don't have to say that. You could say that both braisas are according to the rabbanon. Hoda omer kuloi, hoda omer chatzi chatzi. Because the difference is, in the first braisa, he wrote for each one, all of them. He wrote, kol nechosai l'ploini avi. So sure, the Chachamim are going to agree that in that case, it's b'vasachas, and they completely leave his possession. So therefore the koina, like Rabbah had said. The second braisa would be that each shtar, he wrote, half of my nechassim go to you. So now what it is, so now the second braisa would be saying, according to the Chachamim, now what you have is, you've only given away half your nechassim. That means the other half, you're saying, in effect, belong to you. Well, that amounts to saying that I've freed half my eved and kept the other one. And we said before, the Chachamim say with the shtar, that doesn't work because not similar to a get. And Rashi goes on to say, now there's no question, obviously, if it was, he gave one the shtar, his shtar, and then the other one, then obviously when he gave the first shtar, he hasn't yet given the second one. But even if it was Baras Achas, it also wouldn't work. Because once he writes in each shtar, half my nechassim, not necessarily does he mean one half to one and the other half to the other. Maybe he means half to one and the same half to the other. So in other words, in effect, if we were to say that works, in effect, it would mean that each of them would get a quarter of the nechassim. But the fact is, it doesn't work, say the Chachamim, because you can't free half the Eved and keep half of him for yourself, and therefore they remain avodim, and therefore they don't get the property either. That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos says, what do you mean? The second braisa does say kol nechassai. How all of a sudden are you explaining that it means that he wrote only half the nechassim in each one? So Tosfos brings from the Rashbam that no, what it is like this. Rabbah himself says a principle in other places in Shas. Kol she'ene b'zeh achar zeh. When you have two things that it's not possible al pi halacha to do them one after the other, because you do the first one and it's not able to take effect, like in this case over here. If he were to just give one shtar to one eved and say, with this shtar, you are koina half my nechassim, obviously that wouldn't work, because now it means, according to the Chachamim, that the Eved is, he's trying to free half the slave and keep the other half of him for himself. And we said, according to the Chachamim, that doesn't work. So Rabbah says, even if you do such things, b'vas achas, even if you do two such things at the same time, then it still doesn't work. So therefore, now here it wouldn't work, b'zeh-chazeh. So therefore, Rabbah would say that it doesn't work even if you did it b'vasachas. Even though it's true when you do it b'vasachas, you don't have the problem that you're only freeing half the slave and keeping half for yourself, because you're all giving two shtaris to eat. You're all giving two shtaris at the same time, and each one says half my nechosim. Nevertheless, Rabbah holds that that kind of thing wouldn't work. An example of that kind of thing, Tosfos brings, we're going to learn in Kiddushin, Bez Hashem. Imagine, for example, that a person goes over to two sisters and says, I want to be Mekadosh, both of you. Now, one sister, he can be Mekadosh, but the other one, once he's Mekadosh, one sister, the other one becomes an erva to him. So, since you can't do Bezach Hazeh, you can't be Mekadosh the second one after the first one, because she'd already be an Erva, then therefore you can't be Mekadosh both of them either. But Tosfos points out that's not exactly the same as our case over here. So Tosfos says it's still Ktsas Kosher, it's still a little difficult on the Rashbam's Pirush, but Tosfos discusses that, and Tosfos discusses that some more. So Tosfos Yishonim brings something somewhat similar to what Rashi said. Since we're talking about the shtar, it's true the shtar does say kuloi, but the fact is that you can't tell from the shtar that he actually freed everything he has. So people are going to think that when he says chatzi, that I'm giving half my, rather we are talking about then like the original explanation, that it means that he actually wrote half in the shtar. The thing is, people aren't going to realize that it means at the same time there's another shtar that gives the other half to the other Eved. They're going to think he kept the other half for himself, and therefore that doesn't work. That's why it only works if he says kolai. That's how Tosfos Yishonim says. Okay. So you don't have to say that. You don't have to say then that Rebbe and the Chachamim disagree in this case, and therefore that allows us still to say, like Rabbah, that as long as he's giving away as long as the Eved is completely leaving his reshus, then it'll work, even if he's doing only half for one thing and half for another. For example, like we said, freeing half and selling the other half of asachas, but not if he's trying to keep half for himself. And the second Braisa would be talking Bechla, where he wrote Chatzi, where he wrote half in each one of the Shtaris. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Bahamid Katani Sefer, but the Sefer of that same Braisa continues, of the second Braisa. The Im Om Chatzi Chatzi Loikonu. If he says half to one, half to the other one, then they're not Koinen. So it sounds like the Braisa is saying, first it's talking about where he wrote kuloi to each one of them, and now the second was talking about where he wrote chatzi to each one of them. So Meklal de Reisha Dama kuloi. Wouldn't that imply that the Reisha is talking about where he wrote kuloi? And the answer is the Gemara says not necessarily. Purushi kamafarish. Because you could say the Braisa is not talking about two different cases. The Sefer is explaining the Reisha. Af atzman loikonu, when the second Braisa says that they're not koina themselves, where he wrote kol nechosai the ploni avodai, and Braisa had said af atzman lekonu ketzad. What would be the scenario where they're not koina themselves? Could go into ama chatzi chatzi, namely where he says half in each one of the shtaris. So therefore it doesn't work. But the Braisa is not necessarily talking about two separate cases, one where he wrote kuloi and one where he wrote chetzoi. In fact, you could say the Braisa is only talking about he wrote chatzi for each one of them, and because of that, it doesn't work. Whereas if he had written kuloi for each one of them, it would work like the first Braisa. So you could say Porushi Kamafarish, the second half of the Braisa is explaining the first half. Afatzman lekonu ketzad goindom chatzi chatzi. In fact, the Gemara says Hochinami Mistabra. In fact, it seems logical to understand the Braisa that way, that it's talking about the same case rather than two separate cases. Because if you're going to tell me in the Reisha, you're talking about he says kuloi, and you would say that it means, and the Braisa is saying that doesn't work, then you'd have to ask Hashda Oma Kuloi Lekonu Oma Chatzi Chatzi Meboya. So you would have to think to yourself, if we're saying that even if you say kuloi, it doesn't work, how much more so if you say chatzi? So there'd be no reason even to mention that point at all in the Sefer of the Braisa, because it would be blatantly obvious that if it doesn't work when you say kule, it certainly wouldn't work when you say chetzioi. So therefore, that itself shows that it must be that the Braisa is not talking about two separate cases, kuloi versus chetzioi, but rather the Braisa is saying, when does it not work? When does the case of the ratio not work? When you wrote chetzioi, but on the other hand, if you were to have written kuloi, it would work like in the previous Braisa. Okay, the Gemara says, however, not necessarily. No, because if you're going to mention on that basis, you're going to argue on that basis that it has to be the safer as explaining the ratio, because otherwise there's no reason for the Braisa to mention it. If you're going to say that, loy iria, then that's not really a valid argument. Because you could say, on the contrary, tana sefer legaluya resha, on the contrary, you could say that the sefer is not explaining the resha, but rather clarifying the scenario in the resha. Shaloi toima resha da'ama chatzi chatzi, avol ama kulei kona, just the opposite. You could say, when maybe what the Tana of the Braisa wants to do, he doesn't want you to think that in the first half of the Braisa he's saying chatzi, but avol ama kulei konu, but if you were to say kulei, then it would work like the previous braisa. Therefore, you could say tana sefer do ama chatzi chatzi by mentioning in the sefer where he writes chatzi in each one of the two shtaras. That makes it clear miklal dereisha do ama kulei. That itself implies that in the reisha he is actually using the word kulei ba'afilo hochi loikonu, and nevertheless there's still not koina, because we could after all say that. So we could say, like we tried to say before, that maybe the two braises go according to Rebbe and the Chachamim respectively. So we said that not in order to answer Rabba, but we don't necessarily have to. We could conceivably still understand the brais, the sefer, the second braisa rather, as saying that even if he says kula, it doesn't work. And then the braisa continues with the case of chetzioi, making it clear that the first half is talking about kula. So you could understand it that way. On the other hand, you could also understand it that it means that the Sefer is telling us chetzioi and clarifying that that is the same, that's the continuation of the Reisha, meaning, in other words, that the Reisha is in fact talking about chetzioi, but that kuloi is koina. So you have two different ways of understanding the Braisa. So maybe the Braisa fits with what Rabba is saying, maybe not. That's one way of reconciling the braisa. So again, we have a couple of ways of reconciling the braisas. We can say that the first one is according to Rebbe and the second one is according to the Rabbanan. We could say that both of them are going according to the Rabbanan, and in the second one, when we say chatzi, means it's clarifying that what is the case of the second braisa when he says kol nechasen esun l'plonia plonia vodai, and it doesn't work, would be where he writes chatzi to each one of them. Then the Gemara continues. Now, the Iboy Seima like Kasha. Another way you can look at it, you can say the two Braises do not contradict one another. Kan b'shtarach or kan b'shtei shtaris, kan b'shnei shtaris. Because you could be talking about there's one shtar versus two shtaris. So if he wrote one shtar and said in that one shtar, all my nechosim go to Ploni and Ploni my avodim, so then you can't free two avodim with one shtar. The same point Rashi says is a man can't divorce two wives with one get. You need a separate get for each one. We're going to talk about, by the way, towards the end of the Masechta, we're going to talk about what that means exactly. There are ways, I guess, sort of to save on paper or something, to write a get in such a way that that includes multiple couples divorcing, where the husband is divorcing the wife, and such things can work. But basically, you can't have, for example, you can't have a get where it says that that Reuven is saying to his wives Rachel and Leah, "I am divorcing you, Kedas Moshe Yisrael," etc. That wouldn't work. So, by the same token, you can't free two avodim with one shtar. So if you were to write in one shtar, all my nechosim all my nechosim go to Ploni and Ploni my avodim, that would be the second braisa saying it doesn't work. Kan b'shnei shtaris, whereas the previous braisa that said that it works is talking about those two separate shtaris. In each one, he says kuloi. So therefore, like we said before, we have two shtaris. Each one says, "I'm giving all my nechosim to you, my eved Ploni." That amounts to saying that he's freeing that eved. But because there's another shtar, then therefore the result is we end up splitting the nechosim between them. Very well then, each one is half free, and each one owns half of the other one. So fine, they free each other, as the first braisa said, and that's that. So you can understand him that way. But the Gemara asks, in that case, b'shtar echad mai iru yechatzi. Well, in that case, then why in the, if you're going to understand the Braisa that way, then why in the second Braisa? The fact is, we quoted both halves of the second Braisa before. We said that if he says kuloi, then it works. But if he says, we said if he says kuloi, well, he said if he says kol nachasa nesun plenty of plenty avodai, it doesn't work. And if he says chatzi chatzi, it doesn't work. So that second braisa, if you're going to tell me we're talking about one shtar, then what's the, why does it need to mention chatzi chatzi? Why does it need to mention my iri chatzi chatzi? I feel the omak kulay nami like konu. Even if he says kulay in the shtar, it still doesn't work because we're saying it's all one shtar. And Tosfos says here we can't say Tana Sefer LeGaluya Reisha because before we said the possibility that maybe the Sefer is clarifying and telling us what's the scenario of the Reisha, namely where he said Chatzi Chatzi. But here Tosfos says you can't do that because there's no, once you're in one shtar, then there's no reason to distinguish between whether he said kuloi or whether he said chatzi chatzi. The reason why one shtar doesn't work has nothing to do with writing kuloi versus writing chatzi. It has to do with that you can't free two avodim with one shtar. So what would that second braisa mean? Why does it even need to mention the case of chatzi chatzi? And the answer is, you could still say, hokinami ka'amar. The second braisa may be saying exactly that. That if you write in one, that if you write a shtar that says kol nechosa nesunin leploni aploni avadai, so they're not koder themselves because it's one shtar for two avadim. Bamed varnam amurim b'shtar echad. Now the braisa would be implying that that is the case only when it's one shtar. Avo b'shnei shtaris konu. But if it's two shtaris, then it does work because then each shtar says koloi, but here the braisa would be continuing. Ve'im oma chatzi chatzi. But if in the shtar he wrote half to one eved and half to the other, af b'shnei shtaris nami lekonu, then it wouldn't work even with two shtaris. So the braisa may be the braisa may be implying the second braisa that there is a that there are cases that you have like this. Then the second braisa would be summarizing and saying, if you're writing one shtar, it will never work. If you write two shtaris, it depends whether you write kuloi in each one or whether you write chatzi in each one. You write kuloi in each one, then that's good. And that would agree with the first braisa. And if you wrote chatzi in each one, that wouldn't work because then what you're doing is you're saying only half my nechosim are being given away. You're in effect saying, but the other half I want to keep for myself. And therefore that wouldn't work because you can, according to the chachamim, as we've been saying, according to Rabbah, you can't free half your eved and keep the other half for him, for yourself. And again, we have Rashi's point before that writing chatzi nechosai may in each one may amount to that you're saying only half the nechosim are being given away to the first in the first place, and I'm keeping the other half of the nechosim for myself. Or as the Rashbam had said in Tosfos, it might be even we do say that it means both halves of the nechosim, but since it doesn't work it doesn't work to first give to the first slave half the nechosim, because then at that point you're keeping the other half, then it doesn't work, and so it doesn't work to do that and then to give the other half afterwards, then Rabbah would say it doesn't even work for asachas, and therefore that's why it wouldn't work if you say chatzi. So you could also understand the braisa that way, and again it would mean then that there's no machlokas Rebbe and the chachamim in this case, and that would agree with what Rabbah is saying. Then the Gemara continues, v'iboyseima loikasha. Another way you could understand the two braises is kan b'vasachas, kan b'zeachazeh. You could say one braise is talking about where he gave the two shtaris, as Rashi said, he gave them to a shliach to be zoyche in them on behalf of the avodim at one time. So that would work. So both braises, in fact, are talking about where he says kuloi. He says, "Kol nechosai are given to my avodim ploini, to my eved ploini and my eved ploini." So we're talking two separate shtaris, but we're talking one where he gave both shtaris and tells the shliach to be zoche in them at the same time. So that would work. Kan b'zach ozeh. Whereas the other one might be talking about one after the other, where it doesn't work because when he gave one shtar, the other one hasn't taken effect yet. Well, the Gemara says that explanation doesn't really work out so well. The Shlema Basra Leikoni. Why? If it's Bazaar Jose, sure, the second Ebed is not going to be Koina. The Hakoni Leikama, because by giving the first star, the second Ebed has already been Koina all the Nechosim, including him. Elakama. But why is the first one not free, and why does he not get the Nechosim either? Likni Nafshi, Likni Lechabre. Let him be able to, with the first star, at that point, only that one star is in effect. So let him be Koina himself, and let him also at the same time, he's getting all of the Nechosim. So therefore, automatically, he'll also get the other Eved as part of the deal, because he's getting all the Nechosim, which includes that. Okay, the Ritva explains that the Gemara thought that maybe what it means is that when he wrote both shtaris together, maybe he meant to make one depend on the other. But now in the answer of the Gemara, we're saying not necessarily so. The fact is that the fact is he didn't actually say in so many words that he plans to do that. That he plans to make the validity of one dependent on the other. So therefore, when he gives the first one, then at that point it should work. So the Gemara says you're right. So therefore, you're right. It's clear that we have to give one of the previous answers. So either we have to say that the Braises are according to Rebbe and the Chachamim respectively, or we can say that they're both according to the Chachamim, and one Braises is saying where he said Kula and the other one where he said Chatzi in each star, or again that we're talking about one star versus two stars. So we'll have to use any of those answers. But we can't use the answer of Vasachas, Vasachas, because that would leave us with the problem of why is the first Eved not Koine. Okay. Another answer, Rav Ashi Yomar, Shiny Hossam, to Kokori Lahu Avodai. You know what the difference is in the second Braisa, says Rav Ashi. In the second one, he says, Ploini and Ploini, my Avodim. So by that wording, it seems that he's implying that he still considers them his Avodim. Well, if there is Avodim, they can't be Koine anything, and therefore they don't go free either. What would there be a reason to write Avodai? But the Ritva points out, by the way, now what about when you write a shtar, for example, you say, I'm writing a shtar, my field is sold to you. Well, there you really don't have a choice. How else are you going to write it? But over here, you're saying Nechosai are given to Ploini and Ploini. There's no reason to call them Avodai unless because he wants to keep them as Avodim. That's what Rav Ashi is saying. So up until now, by the way, all the discussion was the Stamma de Gemara. This was all the discussion that was going on in the yeshivas in the generations before Rav Ashi. Now Rav Ashi, being the editor of the Gemara, is coming in and giving another possible answer. But Omele Raftram Rav Ashi. But Raphram says to Rav Ashi, how is that a proof from that Loshon? The Duma Avodai Shahoyu Kvar. Maybe the word Avodim, maybe the word Avodai doesn't mean that I right now consider them my Avodim as when the Shtar takes effect. Maybe it only means he's identifying them as the ones who were my Avodim up until now. In other words, it would be similar to saying Sodi, where it doesn't mean my field, which is going to remain my field now. It just means the field that was mine until now. So maybe that's what it means. Milo Tanan, after all, isn't it similar? Haven't we learned in a Mishnah, which we quoted at the beginning of the Masechta, Hakosiv kol nechosav la'abdo yotza l'cheirus? If a person writes out a document giving away all his nechosim to his Eved, then that Eved goes free, because then the Eved is Koina himself. But sheer karka kolshu. But if he left over any karka, so I'm giving all my nechosim to my eved except for one particular piece of karka, even if it's a small amount, lo yotze l'cheirus, then the eved does not go free. Because Rashi explains the reason why is because we don't know when he says I'm giving away all my karka except for one little bit. And we don't even know what particular part that was. So you can't be koina any of the properties, because how can we say any piece of property that he comes to be machzik in, we're going to say maybe that's the one that the master left out in the shtar. So therefore, we can't be koina the properties. And we would say, loy palgina dibura, we can't divide up what he's saying. When he said kol nechosim, sunin l'ploini avdi, and with that statement, he's supposed to be that he's giving his nechosim to the Eved, and at the same time, the Eved himself becomes free because he's koina himself. Well, therefore, if he can't get the nechosim, then he can't get himself either. Loy palgina dibura, we're not going to divide up what the master is saying, and saying the nechosim he won't be able to get, but himself will be able to get, doesn't work that way. So therefore, lo yotzel cheros. So therefore, he wouldn't go free. But then the Mishnah continues. Reb Shimon Omer lo olam hu ben cholin. Reb Shimon says no. In fact, in all these cases, he would in fact be free. Ad she yomer, unless he says kol nechosin as soon as the pliny abdi chutz me echad me ribo shebehem. Only if he says all my nechosin are given to Pliny, except for 1/10,000th of them, then Reb Shimon says, then the Eved would not go free. If he says, I'm leaving out some character, okay, then Reb Shimon would say, Pogin and Dibura. We can divide up what he's saying. So we're saying the property he won't be the land he won't be able to acquire because it's true we won't know what particular part he's getting and what particular part is being left out, but himself he could be koina because after all, he himself is not karka, but an eved, as we learned the other day, is considered for certain purposes in Torah like karka. But the fact is, he's not actually karka. So what do we see from that? So, and the point is, if he says 1/10,000th, then as we learned in the Gemara at the beginning of the Masechta, when we learned this sugya, Reb Shimon would say, if he says 1/10,000th of the nechosim I'm keeping for myself, that 1/10,000th might be the Eved himself. The Eved himself is worth much more than 1/10,000th of the estate. The master may be writing that Lashon and the Shtar sort of to put down the Eved and to say to me, you're worth no more than 1/10,000th of the estate. So in that case, we have strong reason to say that he's not in fact freeing, that he's not in fact freeing the Eved. The point being, says Rafram, time of the Omachotz me'echad me'ribish v'hen. Now, according to Reb Shimon, we're saying only because he says, I'm leaving out 1/10,000th, therefore we're saying the Eved doesn't go free, because the Eved himself might be that 1/10,000th. Ha loy Omachochi koni. But if he doesn't say that, then it sounds like the Eved is koina. Amai v'ha Eved kokori lei. After all, though, in that Mishnah also, he's saying, Reb Shimon is using the expression, kol nechosin esunin l'ploini avdi. And we don't see that we would say because he uses the word avdi, then therefore that means that he's not intending to actually free him. So the fact, el avdi shohoyer kvar. So obviously when he says avdi over there, he means the Eved that I previously had. So now that I'm identifying this particular person who used to be my Eved, I'm now giving him all my nechosim. And Reb Shimon would say, as long as he doesn't say I'm leaving out 1/10,000th, then the Eved is koine himself. If he were to say I'm giving him all except for some part of karka, then Reb Shimon would say, sure, the karka he can't get because we can't know which part belongs to him and which not, but himself he would get. So Hochinami, the same thing over here. When we have the Braisa, where he says that I'm giving my nechosim to Pliny and Pliny Avodai, it could be Avodai Shehoyu Kvar, my Avodim that I already had previously. So not that he means to actually keep them as Avodim. Rabbi Akiva Eger actually mentions in his this is actually a Mishnah in Peah of all places, and the reason why it's in Masechta Peah of all places is because it talks about certain dinim that apply to that apply if a person sells his field and keeps part of it. What are the dinim as far as Peah? So therefore that causes then the Mishnah digresses then to talk about a couple of other cases where a person sells or gives away so his nechosim and keeps part of them, what works and what doesn't work. So Rabbi Akiva Eger has in his Chedushim on the Mishnayos over there, he has a long explanation, and part of his explanation is that Rav Ashi knows this Mishnah. What is he? How does he in fact answer this question of Rafram? The Gemara is not saying it's tiuvta on Rav Ashi. So how would he answer it? So he says that. So he says because the essential question might be whether Palgin and Dibura or not. Do we say that? Can we divide up what he's saying and say that even though he said Avodai, we can sort of ignore that. And say that Rav Ashi himself, in fact, gives a different answer in the first parak when we learned this, when we learned this thing over there, when we learned this din about the person who writes a shtar to free his eved. So Rav Ashi gives a different reason over there why it wouldn't work. Not because we say he's keeping 1/10,000th of the property, and therefore that would imply the eved, but because a get, similar to a get for a woman, has to be korus. It has to be that it cuts things off completely between them, and here it's not, because there's a certain amount of the property that he's keeping for himself. So Rav Ashi may hold like that. And therefore, so he could say that you, Raphram, are bringing from that Mishnah. But the fact is, it's going to be Reb Shimon and the Chachamim are going to argue on that very point of whether you need complete korus like that or not. And related to that, whether Palgin and Dibura, whether we can divide up what he's saying and say that it means that there's still, that the get is still making a separation between them. And therefore, Rav Ashi is not so bothered by Raphram's question. Okay. Now that we went through all of that, about all the details of how it's possible to free an Eved and make him half Eved, half Ben Choren. So to recap, if it was two partners or whatever, and one of them freed him and the other one didn't, then Mechula Alma, it works. If it was only one master and he freed him with a shtar, then we said Rabbah learned that there was a Machlokas Rebbe and the Chachamim about that, as if he's keeping one half of the Eved for himself. But if in the same shtar he gives half of the Eved to, say, gives or sells half the Eved to somebody else and frees the other half, then even the Chachamim would agree that that works. On the other hand, Rabbah had said, with money, everybody agrees it works. You can free half the Eved with money. Rabbi Yosef in the Maskana had said that no, Rebbe and the Chachamim would be arguing both on money and shtar. Rebbe would say it works to free half, and the Chachamim would say that not. Most of the time, when we have a machloikas, Rabba and Rabbi Yosef, most of the time the halacha is like Rabbi Yosef, and so it is. Most of the time the halacha is like Rabba, rather, and so it is over here that the halacha is like Rabba's understanding of it. So therefore, there are several different ways that a half an eved can be freed. It can be done with kesef, or it can be done with shtar under certain circumstances. Okay. Next. Since we're talking about chetzi eved and chetzi ben chodin, so now let's talk about some other dinim that are relevant to that scenario. First of all, we know the Torah tells us that if an ox kills a person's eved, then the Torah sets up a statutory knas of 30 shkolin. Unlike when the shor kills the shor itself has to be killed, it has to be given skila. But besides that, if it was a regular person that the shor killed, then the din would be the first couple of times the owner, well, while the shor is a tam, the owner is potter from any monetary payment, and after that he has to pay koifer, he has to pay a ransom, and the Gemara discusses in Baba Kama and in some other places whether it's the value of the mazik or the value of the nizik. Is it basically a kapara for the mazik, or is it basically to give restitution to the family of the nizik? Whatever the case, the Torah tells us that if the victim of the shor was an eved, then you pay the eved's master 30 shkolim. So now, nog choshur. So now suppose you have this chetzi eved v'chetzi ben chorin. So half the time he's free and half the time he's slave. Now, Tosfos points out, we learned in the Mishnah, that he's not going to stay that way because according to what we said, the Bais Shammai argued you have to free him completely so he should be able to marry, and Bais Hillel ended up agreeing with Bais Shammai. So once we do that, then in effect, he's considered. So therefore, really Tosfos talks about this in connection with the next case. Whatever, the point is that he would already be considered in effect free as of now because of that takana of the Chachamim, because of the Tikkun Olam. However, Tosfos says, look, you know, you have, as we learned before, if the Eved belongs to Yisomim Ketanim, so Beis Din can't force them to fulfill the mitzvah, to fulfill the takanas Chachamim, therefore the question will be relevant to that. The question would also be in the case of a Shifcha. We said the whole thing that Bais Shammai was saying, that he need to enable him to marry, because Loi Toyo Bro L'Sheves Hitzara, we said would apply only to an Eved, only to an Eved Knani, but a Shifcha Knanis, she doesn't have a mitzvah, pru or ru, therefore you could keep her indefinitely as Chetzi Shifcha B'Chetzi B'Schoren, as long as we don't have, like we had on Daf Lamed Ches, that people are Mezana with her. So therefore, there are scenarios, even according to Mishnah Achrona, even after Beis Hillel agreed to Beis Shammai, there are still cases where an Eved or a Shivcha might remain in that state of Chetzi Eved or Chetzi Shivcha and Chetzi Ben or Bas Chorin for a while. So let's say during that time, an ox gored the slave and killed him. Yoim Shal Rabbi L'Rabbi, if it happened on one of the days where he's working for his master, where he belongs to his master, we said that according to Beis Hillel originally, and again, even after Beis Hillel agreed to Beis Shammai, there still are going to be scenarios where you have that. So they trade off. Sunday, you'll work for yourself. Monday, you'll work for me, etc. So if the Eved was killed by the Shor on Monday, then the 30 Shkolim go to the master. If it happened on the day that he works for himself, then the penalty that the owner of the shor pays goes to himself, goes to the Eved himself. So the Gemara says, why? Elamayata, by that logic, if you're telling me on a day that he's working for himself, then he's considered completely a ben chodin on that day. So what does that mean? Then you're going to say that on Sunday he's allowed to marry a shivcha because on that day he belongs to his master, and then on Monday he's allowed to marry a bas chorin, a regular Jewish woman, because on that day he's free, and it goes back and forth like that. And the Gemara says no. The Gemara answers is sort of like kind of, no, we're not talking about matters of isur v'heter. Isur v'heter can't be by halves like that. But here we're talking about dinei mominus. The same way as we're saying that his earnings, half the days are going to go to his master and half the days are going to go to him. The same thing, not just his earnings, but any mammon that comes through him in this case, including the knas for the ox goring the Eved. Okay, the Gemara says Toshma. Let's see from another Braisa. Hamis Misha Chetzi Eved Bechetzi Ben Chorin. A Braisa says that if an ox kills somebody in this scenario, chetzi eved v'chetzi ben chorin, so the Braisa says, noisin chetzi knas the rabbi, the owner of the shor has to pay half the knas to the master, so therefore he has to pay 15 shkolim, v'chetzi kofer the yoshev, and he pays the other half of the kofer, which would belong to the fact that the other half of this eved is a free person, goes to the yoshev, goes to his yoshim. Now the Gemara is going to soon ask, how does an Eved come to have Yoshim? If he can't get married, he doesn't have Yoshim, and besides, and children of an Eved are not considered the Eved's children, actually, even though biologically there is children. So we're going to see soon what we mean by Yoshim. But in any case, the point is the Braisa says that it's half and half. So am I? Now why would we say that? Hochinami lema, yom shal rabbi l'rabbi, yom shal atzma l'atzmai. Why wouldn't we say like we just said? That instead of doing half, you do, it depends what day it was. And the Gemara answer is no. Shiny hocha de kakalia kauna. Because the difference is that there is in fact a difference first in the Havam, I mean, the Gemara thought that, or the first opinion that the Gemara brought before was that in fact it would be just like we say, the mammon that the Eved earns is on alternate days belongs to the master and on alternate days belongs to him. Now we're saying that actually, no, there's a difference. His earnings, you still have the Keren, the actual principal, the Eved himself, continues to exist. So therefore, we can say that on alternate days, his work, whether his earnings belong to his master or to himself. But Shiny Hocha, the Kakalya Kauna, here it's different because the entire Keren is gone. The Eved's been killed. From now on, there's not going to be, the he and his master are not going to be partners in himself. So therefore, so the Keren, after all, belongs to both of them. Therefore, we have more reason to say that we would split the 15 and 15 shkolim between the master and between the Eved's Yoshim. So the Ela Hechidomi Deloy Kokalia Kauna. So what do we mean a case where the Keren is not being destroyed, where we would say, so what is a case of Nezek where nevertheless we would say that it depends what day it was, whether it goes to the Eved or to the master, would be Kukanchi Koal Yodim with some Sayode Vesoifa Lachser. Suppose, for example, if the Eved wasn't killed, suppose that the Shur injured the Eved's hand, but Samsa, and then it dried up, it shriveled up, Vesoifa Lachser, but in the end it's going to recover its original condition. So now you have to pay. So now the owner of the shur has to pay nezek. So that nezek now, it would depend what day this took place, whether it goes to the eved or whether it goes to the master. So far we'd be saying if the eved was killed, then we would say the master and the eved, or the eved's yoshim rather, split the money. But if loy kal yakana, if it's only a matter of nezek, then it depends what day it was. Well, the Gemara says honichal abaya. Well, that works out according to Abaya, the Omer noisen le shevis gdolah a shevis ktana, namely. So Abaya describes just such a case in Bava Kamma. He says you have a case like that where a person, suppose exactly that, one person hit another one and caused his hand to wither, but eventually the hand is going to recover. So Abaya says noisim leshevis gdola, so he has shevis ktana. So therefore he has to actually pay both. He has to pay nezek as well as shevis. Now we know there are up to five payments for nezokin. You have nezek, which is the value, the fact that the fact that now the person is worth less if he were to be sold as an eved. And then you have what we usually call Sheves. So here the Gemara is calling over here Nezek is nicknamed it Sheves Gdola, the great Sheves, because in other words, until his hand heals, he can't work with that withered hand. He can't do normal work. So therefore, he would have to pay Nezek for that, as well as Sheves Ktana, as well as the regular Sheves with a small Sheves, which is that temporarily he can't work at all. So Abaya says, even though all of this was only a temporary thing, because after all, the hand is going to recover. Nevertheless, Abaya says he still has to pay both payments, both Nezek for the fact that he lost value and Shevis for the fact that right now he can't work at all. Shapir. Okay, so then in that case, you say the same thing over here. So since there's Nezek involved, now the rule is that unlike when one person injures another, where then he can be chayev in up to five different things, nezek, tzar, ripui, etc., when a shur damages somebody, the owner of the shur is chayev only nezek. We don't say that the owner of the shur is chayev for tzar and ripui and so forth. Gemara and Bava Kamma learns it from Pesukim. Anyway, so according to Abaya, so the fact that the owner of the shur has to pay nezek, and the fact that a person who did this, who damaged somebody else's hand and caused it temporarily to wither, would have to pay nezek. Okay, so then if it was a shur that did that, then the owner of the shur would pay that nezek. Ela the Rava, de Omar, but what about according to Rava, who says, Rava says there's no nezek there at all, because nezek would imply where there was a permanent alteration to the guy, where now he's never going to be able to do this kind of work again, and here he will, because eventually his hand is going to recover. So Rava says you just give him what the Gemara called before Shevis Ktana, just the fact that from day to day that he can't work, so you just have to pay him for the time that he has to take off work, where he can't work at all because he's in pain. Well, how would that work in our case over here? Hi, sure who? Here we're talking about a sure causing the injury, but sure in a mashalim al nezek. A shur, when it comes to a shur damaging a person, the owner of the shur pays only nezek. You don't pay the other kinds of things. Rashi explains actually. So here the Gemara in Bava Kamma over there explains, since the pasuk says ish ki yitin mum ba misoy, if a person causes a mum in somebody else, then you make him pay. That implies, but not if a shur causes an injury to somebody else. There you have certain payments, but not all of them. So according to Rava, what would be a case where we would say that the payment of nezek to an eved is split? It depends whether what day it took place, whether it was when the eved was free or when he was a slave. So how would Rava explain the statement of the Gemara before that if the Eved was injured or killed by a shur, we would say, so first we started with the Memra, we said Nog Chay Shur. So fine, Nog Chay doesn't necessarily mean that the shur killed him. So first we thought it meant that the shur killed him, then we would say no, based on the Braisa that we quoted, it meant that the shur only injured him. But that would work only according to Abaya. How would Rava explain it? According to Rava, what is the scenario? If the shur kills him, then we said for sure that the Braisa clearly says then that 15 goes to the master and 15 to the Eved's Yoshim. And but if we're saying if there's only injury involved, then according to Rabbah, there's no payment at all, because the only payment that the owner of a shur would do is nezek, not shebes. And in this case, Rabbah would say there's no nezek. So the Gemara says he boys emakshi ko adam. So first of all, you could answer that we don't mean that a shur injured him; we mean a person injured him. And there, of course, Rabbah agrees that there is shebes involved, and that there is nezek involved rather. And well, there's nezek and sheves, so therefore, so that sheves would go to the owner or to the eved, depending what day it was. The boisema, or you could say, yeah, it is talking about a shur. So memory, what we started this piece of Gemara with was a statement of Amiroyim. It wasn't a Mishnah or a Blaisa. Umemra l'Rava lo yisvir alei. Rava doesn't agree with that memra. It's a statement of Amiroyim. Rava does not necessarily have to agree with it. So yeah, Rava could say this memra would work very well according to Abaya, but I disagree with the whole concept, and I say there's no scenario involving a shur that would involve paying to the Eved or to the master, depending what day it was. Either if the Eved was killed, you'd have the Braisa before that we said half goes to the master and half to the Eved's Yoshim, or we would say that there's no payments at all, but there'd never be a case where it goes on alternate days to the master or to the slave. Okay, so the Gemara continues. So now we learned a few blocks ago that you have the case where a person is maskir his eved or makdish his eved, or also this case of chetzi eved or chetzi ben chorin, where we said in the Mishnah that after Beis Hillel ended up agreeing to Beis Shammai, we say that we forced the master to free the other half of the eved. So in all those cases, the beginning of the shichru has taken place, but you don't yet have the get shichru. So Iboilahu, the Chachamim had a question. Mu'ukav get shichru. If you have an Eved who has not yet received his get shichru. So let's say, in other words, again, the master made him hefker, or was makdishim, or is a chetzi Eved b'chetzi ben chorin, and very soon the Chachamim are going to force the master to free him completely. But let's say the shtar shichru hasn't been written yet. Now, if that Eved gets killed by a shur, yesh like knas, or ein like knas. Does the owner of the shur pay the 30 shkolim of knas or to the owner, or does he not? Because after all, on the one hand, the eved is already basically free. So do we say kesef shloshim shkolim yitin la'adon of Omer Achmana? The pasuk is saying that you have to pay 30 shkolim to his master. Bahai rab odinu. At this point, the master is not a master anymore because he was mafkir him or makdish him or whatever. Or maybe not. The fact is, he hasn't received a get shichur, so maybe the guy can still be called. Maybe the guy can still be called an eved. And the master can still be called a master. So the Gemara says Toshma. Let's bring from the Braisa that we said before. We said that if the shur kills somebody who's half eved, half ben chorin, so we give half the knas to his master, and the other half, the other 15 shkolim, goes to the eved's yoshim. Which, by the way, this that we're going to ask about the yoshim is going to be later on. It's going to be only later on Daf Mem Gimel. Is the Gemara going to get back to that point and say what yoshim are we talking about? So we'll learn that tomorrow, Bez Hashem. Anyway, though, so my life commission achrona. Shouldn't we assume that this braisa is going according to Mishnah Achrona, where a chetzi eved b'chetzi ben chorin is not going to remain that way for very long? The rabbanon are going to force the master to free the other half of him. So therefore, that's exactly this case of mu'ukav get shichur. He's already considered free in effect. He just requires a shtar to make that official. And then the braisa is saying that half the knas goes to his master. So wouldn't that show that yes, mu'ukav get shichur? Then the other guy is still considered his master. The Gemara says, like Commissioner Rishona. Not necessarily. You could say this Braisa is only according to Commissioner Rishona. Maybe this Braisa represents the opinion of Beis Hillel before they agreed with Beis Shammai, where they said that he could remain this way, chetzi eved v'chetzi ben chorin, long term, until the master actually decides to free the other half. Okay, the Gemara says, Toshma, let's bring a proof from another Braisa. We know the Torah tells us in Parashas Mishpatim that if a master knocks out the slave's eye or tooth, or we're going to see soon, any of 24 other major body parts, then the Eved goes free. So a braisa says, if the master knocked out the eved's tooth or blinded his eye, he knocked out his tooth and he also blinded his eye. So yotze b'shinoi, he goes out free just for the fact that his tooth was knocked out. Now the master is going to have to pay him the nezek and the various other things for the fact that he damaged his eye. The i'amet yesh leknas knas l'rabbi. Now, in this case, where the eved is going free because of the shein, because of the tooth, the fact is, at the moment, he didn't yet have a shtar shifur, because we're talking about the master damaged him right there on the spot, very shortly, one after the other. But Pashtos, we're talking about that he knocked out his tooth, and let's say the next day, before he had the chance to write the get shifur, he damaged his eye. So we're saying that he has to pay him for the value of the eye, but there's no shtar shikhu yet. The iamet yesh leknas knas l'rabbi. If you're going to tell me that in the case of an eved who doesn't yet have a get shikhur, that any knas, for example, for a shor killing him, would belong to the master, well then make kavachomer hashda chavli beyachrini yavle l'rabbi. So then, if other people damage the eved at that point, we're saying they would still pay the master. What would be the logic that if the master himself injures him, that the master should have to pay him? Shouldn't we say that you're my Ebed? Any damages that happen to you are I get to keep the money for them. So therefore, that would mean in this case, why should he have to be paying for the eye? Fine. Once I free you, once I write the shtar shichur, sure, then I'd be responsible for paying for your eye like anybody else. But right now, you're still my Ebed. So wouldn't that show, therefore, that in the case of the knas of the 30 shkalim, it does not go to the master? Therefore, we would say in this case also, the payment for the eye does not get kept by the master. He has to give it to the eved. But the Gemara says not necessarily. No, because you could say that this braisa is going according to the opinion that he doesn't, that in the case of shein v'ayin, he doesn't need a shtar shifur. So in most cases where a master is freeing his eved, he has to give him a shtar to that effect. But there was an opinion that says that when it comes to shein v'ayin, it's not required. Netanya, as we learn in the Braisa, b'kulon eved yotze ben l'cherus, the Braisa lists all the 26 body parts for which an eved goes free. You have shein v'ayin, and then there's a Braisa in Kiddushin that lists the other 24. So all of them, an eved goes free. But tzorech get shichur merabe, de Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says, even though he's going free, because gzeres hakosev, nevertheless, he still needs a shtar shikur. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Meir Oimer Ein Tzorich. Rabbi Meir says he doesn't need because he's going free because of the gzeiros hakosev. So therefore, no further shtar is necessary. And the braisa continues with other tanoim who took sides on this. Rabbi Lazer Oimer Tzorich. Rabbi Tarfon Oimer Ein Tzorich. Rabbi Akiva Oimer Tzorich. So far you have three tanoim who say that tzorich, that he needs a get shikur. You have Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yezer or Rabbi Lazer and Rabbi Akiva, and you have against them you have Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Tarfon, who says ain't it tzorich. So hamachrien lifnei chachamim oimim. So the chachamim who sit in front of the chachamim and reconcile and then come up with the like reconciliations or compromises between what the chachamim say. Elsewhere, so they're the ones, in other words, so they're the ones who look over the opinions of the Chachamim, and they say, well, it seems more logical that we should follow this opinion or that opinion. So Oimrim, they say, Nidim Divir Reb Tarfon B'Shein V'Ayin, it seems more logical to make a compromise. What Reb Tarfon and Reb Meir are saying, that you don't need a shtar shichur, is more logical when the damage was on the shein v'ayin itself, on the tooth or the eye themselves, because the Torah is mezakeh, the Torah clearly says that if the eved goes free, so therefore no shtar shichur is needed. But the machriyin continue, v'divrei Rabbi Akiva v'sharei varim. On the other hand, Rabbi Akiva and the other tanoim with him, Rabbi Shmuel, although on the side of here it says really it's supposed to be Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Lazar, so we would accept that opinion of Rabbi Akiva b'sharei varim when it comes to the other 24 body parts. Hoyel knas chachamim hu, because it's a knas from the chachamim. You know, so what do you mean knas? Hakroi kadoshin. And what do you mean? The Gemara learns in kiddushin from psukim that it applies not only to the tooth or the eye, but any other body part like that that has certain characteristics that we'll learn there in kiddushin in a few months. Bez Hashem. Rashi mentions one of them over here, that all those body parts, all the other 24 body parts, all of them stick out, all of them stick out from the body. And when you look at the tip of them, you can't see the entire surface of it. For example, the fingers. You look at your fingertip. You don't see the tip and all around it because the tip of it blocks the rest of it from your vision. And the same way with the rest of them that it lists over there. And we have a klal of prato klal that the Gemara Darshan's there in Kiddushin that says that it applies to all of them. So what do you mean it's only midrabanan? What do you mean it's only knas chachamim? Rather, the point is, it's a medrash, the chachamim darshin from the psukim, to say that the other 24 are included. So therefore, the machri and lifnei chachamim say that when it comes to those, he needs a get shichru, but not when it comes to shein v'ayin themselves. So therefore, so the braisa that we quoted before, that said when he knocked out the eved's tooth and blinded his eye, where we said that he has to pay him for his eye, that braisa might be following the opinion that we're saying over here, the opinion of Reb Meir and Reb Tarfon, and that you don't even need a get shichur, and the opinion of the machri and lifnei chachamim who say that that's the halacha. So therefore, so then in that case, you don't need a get shichur. So as soon as he knocked out his tooth, he's automatically free, and therefore he pays him for the eye. It doesn't necessarily prove, according to the other opinion, according to Rabbi Akiva and the other chachamim with him, who say he needs a get shichur. Maybe in fact you wouldn't pay for the eye yet, because the fact is he's still considered partially an eved until the shtar shichur is written. What would be the reason, Taka, to distinguish? What would be the reason to distinguish between the ones that says clearly in the pasuk versus the ones that come from a medrash chachamim? Tosfos brings a reason. Rabbi Natan says, because after all, not everybody knows this drasha of the chachamim that there are 24 other body parts that free the eved. So therefore, there's the concern that later on the master, having knocked off a finger or a toe or whatever it is, one of the 24 rosh evarim of the eved, he might later on find him in the street and say avdiata, and the guy has no shtar to prove that it's not. And people, you're not going to have people aren't going to say, what do you mean avdiata? You freed him already, because people aren't necessarily familiar with that din. So therefore the machri and lifnei chachamim say in that case you're going to require a shtar shichur. But if it was shein va'ayin, everybody knows what it says in the pasuk that shein va'ayin, the eved goes free. Therefore there's no reason to even write a shtar shichur, because it'll be quite clear to everybody that the eved is in fact free. So since we're talking about this mu'ukav get shichur, let's talk about another question in connection with him. Iboilu, mu'ukav get shichur, oichel betruma e'ena oichel. Again, this Eved, who's already to a certain extent been freed, for example, because his master was mafter him or whatever, but he hasn't yet received a get shichur. If his master is a koyan, can he eat truma or not? On the one hand, kinyan kasbei amar rachmana, and the pasuk says that an eved who is acquired with money by his master can eat truma. But high lav kinyan kasper, who at this point he's not, because his master doesn't own him anymore because he was mafter him. Or duma kiven demachosu get shichur kinyan kasper kurenbei. Or maybe he can still be called kinyan kasper because he doesn't yet have the get shichur and he's still partially considered an eved. So the Gemara says toshma de omer mashavshia. We learned this in Yuvamis. If you have a wife of a kohen who gave birth and her shivcha also gave birth and the two babies were mixed up, those two children can eat truma because one of them is a kohen and the other one is a slave of a kohen. They only get one portion of truma when they go to the granary because we don't know which one is the kohen. So an eved doesn't have, so what it means, in other words, you don't give, the Gemara discusses over there when you vomit, you can't give truma to the eved all by himself because people might mistakenly think that he's a kohen. So the two of them have to go together there to the granary to get truma. And the braisa, and the mashashia continues, higdilu atarubas, once these two boys grow up, mashachrin, zeh seh, and they write it, then they free one another. So, and in that way, whichever one was an eved goes free from now on for the rest of their lives. Each one is a suffet koyin. So what are we saying over here? That until they receive a get shichur, we're saying he's allowed to eat truma. He's still considered kinyan kasper. So therefore, we see that as long as the eved didn't receive a get shichur, then he's still allowed to eat truma. The Gemara says that's not a proof. Hachi hashta. How are you thinking to compare those two cases? Hossam, over there, we have a suffix. Which one is the Eben and which one is the Ben Chorin? If Eliyahu Hanavi were to come and tell us which one is the Eved, now Eliyahu can't paskin halachas for us, but he can tell us the Metzius. He can tell us which one was the baby born from the Shifcha and which one was the one born from the Kahanas. So if he were to tell them, and he said to Eved, who, Kinyan Kaspa Koronabe, then sure, that one would be Kinyan Kaspa, and he'd be able to eat Truma. So therefore, you can say it's only a matter of a suffix, but until he receives a get shichur, he can still be considered a full-fledged Eved, because the fact is, he still is, whichever one, we don't know which one of them it is, but we know that one of them is a full-fledged Eved. Hoch alav kinyan kaspa hu klal, whereas here, you can argue he's not kinyan kaspa at all, because the fact is, his master was mafter him or maktish him or whatever, and therefore you could argue that even before receiving the get shichur, maybe already he's considered to be free, and therefore he can't eat truma. So the Gemara leaves the question open, which means that it's a suffix, which the result of it is that he can't eat truma. But if he does, then he wouldn't necessarily be responsible to pay the keren v'chomish because you have a suffix whether he'd be able to eat truma. The Rambam just says, the Rambam just summarizes it and says he's possible to eat truma. He's also to eat truma. The Rambam doesn't specify what if he does as far as the Keren Mechomesh, but since we're saying it's a suffix, then maybe he wouldn't need to.